Welcome to the best damn podcast ever. My name is Blake Buck, and co-hosting with me this week is William Miller.
How you doing, Blake Buck?
I'm doing good. I'm glad we're back after our it seems like this is the start of every show we do now. I'm glad we're back. Also with us, we got Justin Fick of Kill Monty fame.
How you doing?
I'm doing awesome, man. We got to warp speed through this show because somebody, ooh, I've got to go be an artist at art school. Boo, boo, boo.
So get this right. Like, we were supposed to start at 8:30. I call up Blake. I'm like, Blake, where were you? It's 9:45. We got to start the show. Blake's like, I just came from the gym. You didn't come from no gym. You walked to your house heavy breathing like that.
Look, I work these guns every single day, all right? If you were to look at me now, like the sweat gleaming off my pectoral muscles,
son,
it would blind you.
Son, DDR in your underwear doesn't count, and you know
well,
that.
Well, I didn't play DDR anymore, all right? And furthermore...
It's like greased up watermelons, those pectoral muscles.
Dude, oh.
Dude, I joined a gym myself. Justin Fick now belongs to a gym.
Oh, man.
Actually, he doesn't belong.
William Miller belongs to a
goes.
Pokemon's gym. That's where I go to work out.
So
I don't even work out though. I just go there and stare at ass for an hour.
It's also
dude,
known as
dude.
As
no,
date.
No. Women in gyms.
Oh.
Women in gyms are scary. All right.
So I went to the gym the other day. I have two side stories. I went to the gym and I was walking out of the gym the other day and I saw these pamphlets on the wall and one of them was for date rape. Right. So I thought, oh, all right. So I grabbed it and now I put it on my car seat. So anytime ladies get in the car, they know what to expect. I gave you that warning, baby. It's right there.
What are they offering, 2-for-1 deals on date rape?
No, it's like, you know, instructing
is
you
it
on
like
the danger.
One of those brochures where they have like discounts for gym members.
No, it tells you like all the the bad effects and all the different kinds of stuff. You know, I was reading up, learning, research.
With the bad effects of date rape, you get penetrated. Bad effect number one. Bad effect number two, you get herpes and or pregnant.
Okay, I got one more quick aside. I got to labor out. We're talking about DDR, right? So I went to the store and I bought DDR Universe 2, the sequel to the second Xbox one, because I played the shit out of the first one, right? Because of, you know, my workout schedule. So I thought, oh, okay, so I got the second one. It is like, now when I say it's the exact same game, I don't mean like, oh, it's new songs. Like, literally, they made no change to the game at all. They literally swapped out graphic palettes. Like, the interface looks the exact same. Everything about the game is the exact same. They, like, literally swapped out graphic files, and that's the new game, and added new music. I mean, I guess from a gameplay standpoint, it's a good game, but, like, holy butt. It is, like, the minimum amount of effort they could have done in making a sequel.
Well, dude, it was a sad day a couple weeks ago, because I played DDR for the first time since Macworld, when you and I played it. And dude, I don't think Justin Fick has it
dude,
anymore.
Dude, I'd thrash you now. You'd be done on the floor.
You probably would. I got on there and I just made a fool of myself.
Well, I'm telling you that,
and ended up sweating buckets and just making an ass of myself.
I'm telling you that, like, if you take DDR Universe 2, you should go to the store and try it. DDR Universe 1, DDR Universe 2. Like, put the boxes side by side and look at them from all angles. Like, literally, even the box layout is exactly the same. So fuck you, Konami.
Dude, copy game, paste game.
And speaking of which, it's time for the best damn podcast ever for February something or another 2008.
I don't think we need an exact date. Just give months. Just this is the best damn podcast ever for February 2008.
Because we have one a month now.
Yeah.
At best.
So before you rattle off the news there, Blake Buck, we have to do a pretty special show on February the 13th. William Miller gets his wisdom teeth taken out.
Oh my God!
I think we need to do
no
a
more.
Show. While William Miller is doped up on. Whatever the fuck they're going to give me.
Dude, they're going to give you some lore tab.
Dude.
Only Justin Fick
Justin
knows
Fick
what that
got.
Is.
Dude, Justin Fick got lore tab. I got my wisdom teeth ripped out.
Oh, I read.
Dude, they're going to have to give me like a spinal blocker or something.
I read about
shit,
that
like.
In my date rape pamphlet, Justin Fick.
Blake Bug, what's the news?
All right, what is the news? Sweaty nerds scream in agony as Super Smash Bros. Is delayed again. Well, that one's for you, William Miller. Fox News says, OMG, boobies in my video games. Resistance 2 announced. Buck cries he can't because he doesn't get a funny title. Look, I got something to say about this new Wiki Fairy, and he's even got something to say.
Dude, I don't think my title was very funny either. I'm going to cry.
And Dofus updated. Also, a little news on my favorite game, Duke Nukem Forever.
Uh-oh,
I'm hiding that power. William Miller, go.
All right, well, Wiki Fairy, this is shameful. Why you give me this news? It's like two sentences max. Sweaty nerds scream in agony as Super Smash Bros. Melee is delayed yet again. This time until March 9th. That's it. I'm done. That is the news.
Isn't it out in Japan, though? It's out somewhere.
It is out in Japan, so it's not going to get delayed a significantly longer amount of time because it's already finished. They're not going to add anything, so if it's delayed anymore, it's going to be just like maybe a month.
Now, Blake Buck, I heard that the story mode for this game is being written by the same guy that wrote Final Fantasy VII.
I have not.
What are we
going to
see when we play this game?
Dude, there's no story in Smash Brothers. I don't know who they thought they were fooling with Final Fantasy VII in that press release title.
Dude, there is quest
mode. Mario
mode.
Has amnesia.
Remember classic franchises throughout the Mushroom Kingdom. Dumb. I just came up with that just now.
No, story of
it.
Smash Brothers is you smash dudes.
Yeah.
That's right.
So we'll see. I don't know. I got my eye on Smash Brothers. I think it's. I don't know. I think it suffers from what I like to call feature creep. They're like, oh, let's add this in. Now let's add this in. Let's add this in. By the time a game comes out, it turns into a StarCraft Ghost. Dumb.
Well, from what I heard from people that have imported the Japanese version, that it's actually really good. That's amazing. So
it's good to hear.
Look, well, yeah, but so Nintendo fanboys are going to say it's good no matter what. I mean, somebody who imports the game is not exactly an unbiased opinion.
True.
So I don't know. We'll see. I got my eye. When is it coming out in the U.S.? Does it have a date on there, Miller?
March 9th.
March 9th. That's right around my brother's birthday. Denbug Double B. All right, Justin Fick.
Dude, it's right around my brother's birthday, too.
Justin Fick, lay it on me.
Curtis Fick, March 10th. All right, Fox News says, quote, OMG boobies in my video.
Now, I don't believe that's actually a quote, Wiki Fairy. I think that you are misinterpreting the news here.
Yeah, I think the journalistic integrity of our news collectors was lacking.
Because we're too lazy. Like, I like we are the worst to our fans. Like, we don't do any research. We just turn the mics and we're like, all right, we got to leave in like 10 minutes, but let's do this real fast. We've done like no prep at all. I swear, one day we're going to have a quality produced show, maybe like a year from now. All right, so
perhaps.
So what does it say here, Justin Fick?
Okay. All right, so essentially what happened was, if you guys are familiar with the game Mass Effect, it's this big, long, drawn-out space RPG, blah, 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 blah. But apparently it's got a sex scene in it. I haven't played it.
Ooh, mama.
It's got a sex scene.
Ooh.
It's, quote, a brief scene of consensual sex between the player and a computer-controlled character. So apparently word of mouth got out around, and it got to the people at Fox News, and of course they do what they do best, which is
fair and balanced,
completely out of proportion. Exactly. Speaking of which, aren't like the boobies in video games are fair and balanced? Like, they never have any irregular boobs in video games. You ever notice that?
They're no fat people either. It's kind of like comic books.
No. There's fat dudes, and they're always bad guys, and they're always like.
Yeah. It's just like
the gameplay around the fat dude is around him being fat.
So I have an anecdote about this. Like, so William Miller used to go to life drawing class. That's when you draw naked people. All right. And there are two options. You can either get up early and go to the sequential department, that's comic book building, to draw naked people, or you can go to like the fine art foundations class building, draw naked people.
Okay.
Like, if you go, there are no, because there are no fat people or ugly people in comic books, unless they're evil, all of the models were beautiful in the sequential department, and all of them were hideous in the fine art department. The choice was easy.
But anyway, Fox News went on to, they had this report about how this game is destroying youth and whatever the hell they talk about, and there was actually some sort of, like, point-counterpoint where they had one of the creators on the show, and it was a completely one-sided argument, blah, 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 but I mean, honestly, like, I don't know why this is pissing everybody off. I mean, every game that comes out that's, that has even remotely questionable materials, word is going to get out to people who have never played the game. They're going to bitch about it on the news and talk about how it's destroying youth. And it's going to be one debacle after another, and it's not going to stop, so you just deal with it.
Have you ever thought about, I mean, just how stupid, like, I don't know, just like when dumb people catch wind of something and they think they're onto this, like, big scheme. How, like, I mean, potentially the sales of this game, I mean, probably not, but potentially they could be ruined because some dude was like, oh, my God, they making porno games for children. I'm going to have to tell Fox News.
Dude, ruined. It's totally the opposite. Now every kid that watches the Fox News report realizes that, oh, my God, now there's this game of Mass Effect that has sex.
Is there any nudity in the game?
From what I read, it was just like it was side boob.
Just a little side boob.
Okay. All right. I like it.
Dude, I see side boob in, I don't know, like National Geographic. I see side boob in just regular TV. I see side boob in Mythbusters.
Dude, I see side boob in class when I lean over to pick up pencils and look up girls' shirts. Oh, drop my pencil again.
Been studying your date rape brochure there?
I got all the
boobs techniques. Boobs are not in the skirt, Blake Buck. I don't know what ladies you're looking at, but that's not side boob you're seeing.
Dim's breasts.
That's probably a penis, actually.
Dim's nuts.
Dim's nuts. All right, so it seems like this has to happen at least every 6 months, some sort of, like, sex scandal. And it's like at Fox News, they're like, all right, we got nothing for January. How about video game sex scandal? And then they send, like, one dude out, and he finds some article somewhere. He's like, all right, this is what we're doing for the next month.
Honestly, my theory is still that there's people hired by these game companies that sort of, like, they're plants. They go in there, and they're just like, they get reporters and stuff, like, dude, do a report on this game being the devil, and we'll sell a million copies.
That's true. Like,
you guys get your ratings.
It's weird to think about, like, game PR now, like, I'm going into marketing, right? And if I worked in the game industry, would I have to do this, like, down the road, like, pretend to be a concerned parent to drive up sales of a game?
Dude, I'll do it.
Like, is that a tactic? It certainly wouldn't be the shadiest thing the game marketing industry has ever done.
Yeah, the press
I'll come out of the game, and then I'll walk around with one of those boards you wear on your neck saying that my own game is the devil. that's like grassroots PR.
Yeah, man.
All right, so I'm sure we may hear more of this. Hopefully not. So we'll keep you posted on what's happening here. But my news for you this week, Resistance 2 announced, and it says Buck cries because he didn't get a funny title. Very clever. I know who this is. I know who the Wiki Fairy Jr. is, and we're going to lay into him in a minute. Anyway, Resistance 2 got announced in this month's Game Informer, which is essentially GameSpot magazine, or GameStop magazine. It's got two campaigns, presumably Alien and Human, 60-player multiplayer, class-based gameplay, vehicles, and oh so much more. So, you know,
Whoa, 60-player gameplay?
That's multiplayer. 60-player multiplayer.
Yeah.
That does sound hot. It reminds me of Battlefield.
That blows my mind. Has any game had, or for a console, had 64-player multiplayer? I know
Battlefield
one of the Battlefields has it, but was that for console?
No, it definitely wasn't for console. And if it was, it didn't have nearly 60 players. It probably was like 16 or something. Hmm. So that's going to be very cool, I think. So I got my eye on Resistance. Look, I'm still into the... What am I thinking? I always get confused with Killzone because I put those games side by side and they look the exact goddamn same in my head.
Wait, Resistance, that's the one with like that skull with four eyes.
Yeah, it was the big launch game for PS3. Yeah, the four-eye skull. It's like in World War II.
That's the one where it's basically like a Call of Duty game with aliens.
Yeah.
Is what it was. All
right. I get confused with Killzone, which is like Call of Duty game with space aliens, or, you know, like marine space aliens. Anyway, Dofus.
I heard it was really good, actually.
Yeah, it's supposed to be pretty good, but again,
what, Killzone or Resistance?
I haven't played it.
Killzone
so
sucks
I
dick. Thumbs down on Killzone, but Resistance supposedly pretty good, but I still don't own a PS3. Dofus updated to 1.21. That's right, Dofus. From those of you who remember from way, way back, is this really awful anime weeaboo J-pop RPG where you go online and you talk about your feelings or something and level up. I don't even know. Why am I even reading this? That's the real question.
Dude, I just realized that none of us even said the word doofus since the IMG podcast.
I know. Wiki Fairy dragged this up from the...
from the deep. So it's got It's got Pandawas class. That's the new class. And Pandala Island, which I can only hope is a cute, cuddly panda creature. And many creatures and monsters there for the staking? I don't know what that means. So, if you're into Dofus, I'm sure you already know this. This is not going to be your first source. If you're into Dofus, you're not looking for us to get the latest and greatest news.
No, our writers are on strike too. So,
all right. So finally,
meaning us.
My last news for you guys. I hope you're ready for this. Everybody, suck in with me.
Dude, I'm sucking in that stomach.
Duke Nukem Forever, officially announced for 2008.
They retracted
dude,
it. They retracted it, son.
That's right. It was
they retracted the date.
For like 6 hours, I was in pure heaven. But then they retracted the statement saying the release date is still done when it's done, and that will be until the appropriate moment. Platforms have not been...
I love this quote from their press dude or whoever put this up there. It says, in what appeared to be an unfortunate turn of events, there seems to have been some confusion between what was off the record and what was not. I suppose we're used to dealing with gaming press and not mainstream press. Ooh. Lesson learned.
Damn.
What a bunch of biatches over there. I mean, come on now.
Lesson learned is don't believe anything that Three Realms says about
Duke.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Who wrote it? I think it was the Daily Business Journal. Dude, he slammed the shit out of them. I assumed you guys weren't butt clowns. Oops. I was wrong. I love it. Thumbs up, 3D Realms. And also, and another announcement, they're also going to have Duke Nukem 3D on XBLA sometime. It said coming soon this year. So and allegedly
really?
Even co-op. So I am beyond excited for that.
That's a good move. That's a good move. I like that.
Because yeah, I'm ready Duke for that. I think Duke will do a little better than Marathon.
Bruce Morrison felt that.
Ooh, he felt that. No, but I'm saying it's. I think
dude, this that's because people are Philistines and they don't know.
There's a good more nostalgia factor, I think, for Duke. At least for me, there is because I don't know what no Max.
Well, everyone knows what Duke Nukem is. Everyone knows what Doom is.
Well,
nobody
I don't know if everybody knows. It's still not nearly as big as Doom, but it's still big in its own right. All right, now it's time for releases.
All right, so first one, we got Turok.
Oh, Jesus.
Coming out. It actually just came out on the 5th. It's out.
Oh, my God.
So it's for Xbox 360 and your PS3. Joseph Turok.
Joseph Turok. Wait,
hold on. Has Turok always had a first name?
No. His name is Turok. There is no first
name. Yeah, his name is... It's like Madonna. Just one name.
No, and it's not even like spelled out. It's the number 2 in a picture of a rock.
Okay, so apparently Joseph Turok travels to a planet populated by soldiers, dinosaurs, and other vicious creatures that mean him harm in order to take down a war criminal. Dude.
Okay.
New game description. Turok kills people.
So let me tell you about this game. So it was about like last Friday night, right? I'd been drinking, all right? So I turn on my Xbox. You know, like after you've been drinking, you're like, well, now what do I do? I did all that. Everybody's left. Now what am I doing? I'm drunk sitting here doing nothing. I know. I'll go to Marketplace. What's happening there, right? So I see on the, you know, it comes up on the screen. Download the new Turok demo. I said, all right, I got this. So I start playing it. Oh, my God. It is like the worst goddamn game I have ever played in my life.
No.
I mean, maybe it's because I've been drinking. I don't know. God, I hope so, because it was awful. Like, you're in like a cave. I couldn't figure out where to go. I was lost. Like, the dinosaurs animated like N64 dinosaurs. No, you know like Nanosaur when you got hit in Nanosaur? And he would look like left and right? That's how the dinosaurs attacked. Not to dig at our good buddy, what is his name?
Brian Greenstone.
Not to dig Brian at him. Greenstone. I mean, because that was 20 years ago on the Mac, or 10 years ago. But that's like the animation was awful. The level, I couldn't tell if I was in the forest or if I was in a cave. It was just like a big. You remember like the original had like that black smoke? You couldn't even see 10 feet into the distance. Like, I guess they're going for that same
black
kind
smoke.
Of effect because you couldn't hardly see anything. And I couldn't figure out, I couldn't jump. Like, there was like a little tiny ledge, but I couldn't get over it. Oh, God, it was so dumb. And then the dinosaurs kept spawning. Oh, it was so bad.
So,
dude, I can tell you right now, I have not played that game, but I can tell you that it's shit just because they gave him a first name. It's the first name rule.
Yeah, that's lame. The developers release these nice little like developer diary making of videos throughout the production or leading up to the release, I guess. And like they had a whole one, I think, about the story and the writing, and they had all these Hollywood like screenwriters do it. Look, Turok kills dinosaurs. That's it, baby. Hey, you
know, look, I mean, us.
Dude, they need to come out with a new video. It's sorry we f***ed up Turok. Behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes of how we f***ed up Turok. Well, I tell you, first we decided no more dinosaurs. Look, I was playing another game. Like, it blows my mind how bad some game. Like, you look at some games like Call of Duty 4, so amazingly designed, or some other games they're going to get to later. I don't know, like I was playing Normal Heroes earlier, just really, really well designed. And then you look at other games that are so bad, and you think to yourself, how could this happen? Like I was playing the demo of Conflict Denied Ops on Xbox 360 yesterday. And it was like...
Denied Ops?
It was like Rainbow Six, except it sucked ass. They're like, let's copy Rainbow Six exactly, except put you in jungle and make everything that was fun about the game replaced by pieces of shit. Like the lighting was awful, the animation was awful, like you know they had the same kind of like hand twirl animation where you like told your guys to come, you know, like get on you. Oh, it was and like you shoot guys. My main problem is sound design in games. You shoot a gun and it's like bleh, bleh, bleh. Dudes fall over like GoldenEye. I mean, they were like you know, jiggle. So fucking bad. I could have walked in like, how does that get through QA? And everybody's like, yep, that's our final product.
And that's what I'm curious about. Like, when you're making these games, big studios, like, do you realize, like, a year before your game ships that you're making absolute shit, or are you just oblivious to it?
Yeah, like, surely somebody's somewhere down the line. It's sort of like the Challenger explosion, right? They chalked it up to what they call groupthink, where nobody really wanted to say anything, even though you wanted the kind of the project to keep going and not really stop and say anything, and that's why the O-rings were bad, right? Same thing with game development. Nobody wants to say, oh, by the way, this game sucks dick. And so they just ship out a piece of shit.
By the way, yes, developer we just there, compared Turok to the Challenger explosion.
So look, my challenge to you, if you're a game developer out there and you know you are shipping shit for all that is holy, please say something in the next meeting or just go up to somebody and say, by the way, this sucks dick.
Because listen, if your game were to launch into space with teachers and school children and orphans and shit, they'd all be dead.
Oh God, Justin Fick. What is our next release?
Our next one, also came out February 5th, is Devil May Cry 4 for PS3, Xbox 360.
Oh, that's right.
It's the fourth installment in Capcom's demon hunting series, but this time it stars a new character, Nero, and his powerful demonic arm. I don't know how I feel about that. But anyway,
dude, is he shirtless?
GameSpot gave it an 8.
Those are the only heroes I like in my... like Devil May Cry games are the shirtless men shooting things, kind of like the Contra dudes.
Yeah, I was gonna say, is that Devil May Cry or is that Contra?
Because I think in like Devil, what it was like Devil May Cry, he had no shirt. That meant he was two times as strong.
No, that's Altered Beast. Do you guys power remember up. Altered Beast? Like you get power ups and suddenly your shirt just disappears. Yeah. like awesome. there's a certain level of strength after which your shirt suddenly can no longer exist.
And the same thing works for women, but their breasts get larger. All right, so Justin, what's our next?
All right, next one we got Assassin's Creed Altair's Chronicles for DS.
Is that shipping already?
Yeah, it's the first game in the Assassin's Creed franchise. It's set in 1191 AD when the Third Crusade was tearing the Holy Land apart. So maybe this actually takes place back when it's actually supposed to, instead of in some fucking brain medical institution. Like, I don't even know. I still don't know what the hell is going on in that game. I have not beat it yet, but I still don't know what the hell is going on.
Like I said, I like that game. I dropped that game like a brick. I hadn't played it. Like, I don't think I've even played it since I did that review last. Then again, I don't hardly play any games now. I'm about like William Miller these days.
Dude, I got a huge backlog of new games I need to work through.
I guess I do play. I don't know. I just don't. I play a game, then I instantly replace it with another game. So I guess it's not quite true.
Dude, my DS has upstaged everybody. Like it's all Contra and Advance Wars now. That's it.
Oh man,
nothing else.
Justin,
my roommate has started playing that tape. Is that tape any good?
Which one, Fick? Contra or Advance Wars?
Well, I've played Contra. It's hard. I'm talking about Advance Wars.
Oh, it's good for the full review. There's a judgment coming up very soon, but yeah, it's good.
What was I going to ask you? Oh, Justin, you were telling me about some sort of Korean gaming system that plays everything under the sun. I want one of those. What is this you were telling me about?
Oh, this is the it's called the GP2X.
Uh-huh.
It's like a portable little console thing.
It runs like Linux, right?
It's totally based on open source homebrew.
Huh. Huh.
So it's like it doesn't have any official games for it, but people just make stuff for it.
That's very cool. Wow.
It's about like $170, I think, for the new one. It's a pretty slick looking machine. It's got a touch screen. It's got
It was hot. You know, I saw that video.
It's got SD card memory. It looks pretty cool. I'm kind of thinking about picking one up.
Dude, I like that because I would be the coolest kid on the block. Oh, what you playing?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my hack Korean game system. Go away. You're not cool. Go play a DS or something, child.
But I guess like if you're into emulation, like it's so much better than the DS and the PSP for emulation.
Yeah,
like, I know it can do Super NES flawlessly.
See, that's what I want to be able to just store the complete set of Super NES games on a portable system. That's what I want.
Dude, you gotta get that R4 for your DS.
I do gotta get that R4.
I got that R4. I haven't gotten the SNES emulator for that. Is that any good?
It's pretty good. It's a lot faster than the one I had for the PSP.
Okay.
But it does have a couple of glitches. Like, it doesn't do any of the like the 3D Mode 7 graphics. Like, all of that just comes out as garbage, so you can't play F-Zero. Like, the Final Fantasy games look kind of butt when it goes into 3D mode there.
Lame.
So
yeah.
It's not perfect, but the games are fast enough.
But GP2X would have you covered, right? It would play them all.
That's what I'm hearing. That's what I'm hearing. I haven't picked one up, but I you know what? I just might. But
you
I
get
know,
one,
like,
you tell me
got,
how it is,
you know,
and then we'll play together.
Yeah, they got Cave Story out for GP2X. That's, totally ported over. So, I'm excited.
Very cool.
Dude, I see this power. This thing looks hot. Look at that thing.
What's the website to buy one, Justin? You sent me a link for it. It was like GP2X
I forget what it was. Just Google GP2X.
Yeah. All right. So, let's see. Do we got any more releases of note, Justin Fick?
Let me give a quick look down. We got a couple. Let's see. Lame we
moment.
Got Twisted Metal Head-On Extra Twisted Edition for PS2. Is the I guess like the extra pack. This is Jaffe's first project. They got 7.5.
All right.
Let's see. Karaoke Revolution.
That's right. Ain't Karaoke Revolution coming out on Xbox like this week?
Yeah. It's Karaoke Revolution presents American Idol Encore for 360,
dude.
Wii and PS2.
Oh, yeah, dude, I love it. Are you kidding me? Like, I wouldn't buy that game, but if it just somehow, like were outside my house, I would play the shit out of that. Without, I'd pop that in, I'd hear Simon go, now, what you have here, you've got what I call a bedroom talent, where you think you're sounding good along with the record, but in fact, when you sing alone, you sound like shit.
Dude, I will only play that if I get to play as Simon and just berate stupid people.
Dude, I love it. I want that. Somebody send that to me so I don't have to buy it.
See, that's the kind of game I need. Like, I'm done saving the world. I'm done doing this and this and this and building empires. I want a game where all I do is make fun of stupid people for like 3 hours.
Dude, that's called anytime I go out to eat.
I've been seeing the new trailers for the new American Idol. They have them like playing instruments now.
Look, I'll tell you all about American Idol. Now, I don't know if you kids knew this. I probably told you, but it's really kicked off. I'm doing the morning radio show at my college station. I do it every morning from 6 to 9 a.m. And so one of the segments we do like maybe a few times a week is American Idol, where we highlight like the most ass contestants on American Idol and play it over the air. Dude, it is gold. Like, I'm not going to listen after like this next week when they start getting good, but right now they are amazing.
Once they start getting good, I got an idea for the show. Once they start getting good, instead of playing them, you need to play a quick clip, and then you guys have to sing what they sung on the air.
I love it. Dude, we got this one segment. In fact, I might play it for William Miller here at the end of the show. Or maybe, Lucas, I'll send you the file. Ooh. But you know what I'm talking about? That man talk, Justin Finn?
Oh, dude. Yeah. That made me weep tears of joy.
All right, anyway, so let's see. Is that all the releases we got?
That's really all that's worth talking about.
All right, good deal. So now it's time for...
Operation Wolf is out on the Wii Virtual Console. And the other reason this is of any note, I remember buying this back when it came out in the original NES for a friend back in, like, first grade or wherever it was. And then he actually called me a week later to tell me that he hated the game so much that he dropped it in water. I'm like, thanks, you dick.
Wow. Before we go on, we have to do one of the releases that Wiki Fairy Jr. put up here. It's old. Pirates of the Burning Sea for the PC, January 21st. Cue Pirates music, please.
No, hold on. It says, play You Are a Pirate music here, Blake, or I'll never do the Wiki again.
Oh, you're right. Don't do it then.
That's a threat.
We don't respond well to threats or bad wiki skills. I like how we just bitch him out. I love it. I'm going to reveal to you.
I tried.
I know who it is. I'm going to reveal at the end of the show who it is, the new wiki fairy.
Uh-oh.
I know who it is, too.
All right. So
we'll take off Batman's mask.
All right. So now it's time for judgment. All right, so the first game I'm going to talk about, oh my God, I'm so excited because this is long-awaited, Burnout Paradise for the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3.
Oh,
now, you may recant a few podcasts ago. I played the demo of this game, and I absolutely hated it. So now the full game came out. It was getting good scores, and even though I really didn't want to buy it, I thought, well, this beat's jerking off, so I guess I'll purchase this game. So I went and played it. And I probably played it for 10 minutes and then said to myself, this is the most goddamn amazing game I have ever played in my life.
Really?
Oh, my God. I was completely sold 10 minutes into the game.
Like, you're going to have to elaborate.
All the things that I was held up on vanished in the full version. So let me talk for... Well, I'll tell you what I like about the game first. So this is Criterion's latest... their latest Burnout game. It's definitely a departure from the classic formula. It's got a kind of an open world structure. There's no menus at all. You press start and you're in the game instantly. Everything is all done by either driving around to different events, or if you want to go online, you hit one button, you're instantly online. So it's very streamlined. It's got an open world, lots of exploring elements in it. So the things I liked about it, it's got this open world style, means there's a lot more to do and explore from a level design standpoint. The game is still very, very fast. And I hadn't even gotten the fastest cars yet, so I can only imagine the insanity when I get up to, like, the Burnout class license. The graphics and lighting are amazing, and the crashes are easily the best car crashes. Hell, the best anything crashing in a video game I have ever seen. Absolutely
nice.
Amazing. I like so much crumpling and deforming, and it's absolutely amazing, the crashes. Just check out the demo or watch some videos online, but it is amazing. It's got really awesome cinematography. Like, when you crash, the camera, like, kind of cuts out and it goes into slow motion, and it's almost kind of like a handheld thing as it, like, tries to rack the focus and find the crash. Really, really convincing and amazing. It's got a showtime mode where you click, essentially, I'll get to crash mode in a minute. They don't have crash mode as it used to be in the old Burnout games. Now they got this thing called showtime, where essentially you press left and right bumper on the 360 version, and your car just, like, explodes into the air, and tons of traffic appears, and you just, like, slam into all the traffic. And then, like, as you hit traffic, you build up your boost meter, and, like, oh, now you're sitting on the ground. Oh, I'll just hit A, and my car explodes into the air again. So you try and just kind of roll down the street and, like, hit everything you can. So... it's not quite a replacement for Crash Mode, but it's still damn fun.
I'm surprised, Blake Buck. You've done a complete turnaround
to get to the cons, though. The online play, and I even mentioned this before, is still incredibly amazing, like how simple it is. Literally, it's like two button presses. You don't even like go to a menu. You're driving the car. You press the right D-pad, like twice, and eight other players appear in the exact same world you are. So there's never a pause. Like, they're just instantly there. Now, here's things I didn't like about it. The open world style causes trouble when you're racing and trying to navigate simultaneously. It's one thing that really drove me crazy about the demo. Is like you're trying to drive and navigate and see where you're going. Like, especially if in a race you're unfamiliar with, it's difficult to, you know, look at the radar, try and watch for oncoming traffic, boost, take a corner, do all at the same time. It's very difficult. But I found that once you play the game for about an hour, you get over that and you start to learn the routes, that all that those problems really disappear. The only thing I didn't like, the open world design also means that most races aren't as directed as the previous games. Remember how old Burnout games we described as being like a tube? You drive down and awesome shit happens. Well, it's not quite. I still stand by that this Burnout doesn't quite have that directed, focused gameplay that the original did. But it does have more options, gives you more to do. So it's a give and take. Again, no crash mode sucks. I hear rumors they might add one and downloadable content. But the Showtime mode is still fun. And, you know, it's still fun. I mean, I would like it to be there, but... You know, they're trying new things, so I can deal with that. Retrying races, everybody. This was my big problem with the demo version. Like, when you want to retry a race on the demo, you had to drive all the way back to the other side of town to start the race. Like, the start of the missions were way far away from the end. But on the full version, there's race start points everywhere. I mean, there's like 150 of them in the game. Every single intersection is a race start point or an event start point. So even if you lose a race, there's probably one less than 10 seconds away from you. So it won't be the exact same race, but, you know, it's not a big deal. You can just play a different one, and you probably end back up around the same part of town anyway. Finally, the last thing I didn't like, DJ Atomica. He's like, "Whoa, DJ Atomica, welcome to Crash FM. I was driving down the street and I saw this car, and I was like, whoa, holy shit, it's driving fast. And I was like, no way. Anyway, keep it here, Crash FM." So, luckily, you can turn this motherfucker off, so. But
Does he ever use the word gnarly?
Probably.
If he does, that is just complete saving grace.
So, the things that I didn't like from the demo mostly evaporated in the full game. Like, the things that really bugged me were the way the missions were laid out. That's really not as much of a problem in the full game because there's so many more missions. The thing about, once you learn the streets, having to navigate isn't nearly as bad of a problem as it was. Showtime mode, which wasn't in the demo, is a lot of fun. Maybe not a replacement for Crash mode, but a lot of fun. And most importantly, they've tried a ton of new stuff with this franchise, and... I think that, you know, this Burnout Paradise is different, but it's a lot of fun, and it's definitely better than just another Burnout game in the classic style. So, big thumbs up from me. It's different, but it's still awesome. Burnout Paradise, go check it out. Oh, and one more thing I want to add. So in the game, they advertise something called, "Whoa, DJ Atomica here. Check out the Crash FM podcast. You can find it at criterion.net.ea.burnout.ea.net. So I went and checked out this Crash FM podcast, right? I thought, oh, this is going to be good. It's going to have this DJ Atomica clown, like, spewing, like, surfboard terms in my face. But in actuality, it's just, like, three of the developers, like, the three, like, lead designers are just, like... Like, the one I listened to, they were going through their mailbag, and some people were playing the demo, and most of them were like, oh, it's good. And so I got to this one email, it's like, yeah, this demo sucks, and I hate you. And they were like, no, it don't, you dumb, f*** you. So... I like the Crash FM podcast. I thought it was going to be a very, like, you know, I thought it was going to have music or something on it, but it's just the developers talking about the game. I found it to be very informative, especially from a design perspective, because they really got into that a lot. So even if you're not into the game, if you want to hear some interesting stuff about game design, check out the Crash FM podcast at ea.burnout.ea.com/criterion/creed.
Dude, that gives me an idea. We need to start whoring our podcast out in games.
Yeah, we'll buy some ad space in Burnout. Oh, by the way, so I read the end-user license agreement in Burnout when you, like, connect online. So apparently they, like, dynamically stream ads into the game all the time. And, like their advertisers are based on how long and from what angle and of what size that the camera sees the ad. Like,
wow.
That blows my mind. Like... if I were to drive, I guess if I were to drive up to an ad and just sit there for like 10 minutes, they would make a lot of money. EA would, I guess. Or the company would have to pay a lot of money, the advertiser.
Dude, that's the video game equivalent of just clicking your Google ads over and over again. Hint, hint, front page, Google ads.
Subtle. I like that.
No, we need to get one of those billboards and just put your face on it.
So, yeah, Burnout Paradise. I loved it. I've probably played it like 20 or 30 hours since I got it. Now, I haven't even played games that much lately, so... A lot of fun. Me, like, what I'll do is I'll do the races, and then my buddy comes over, and he does all the exploring stuff. So we've been getting all the cars. It's awesome. So big thumbs up, Burnout Paradise. Go check it out.
All right, guys, I've got to take off.
Look, we got 20 more minutes. Come on, you don't got to leave.
Dude, it is 9:48.
Look, where you got to go?
Look.
You could be 20. Look, 20 minutes ain't nothing. We're almost done with this show.
Son,
we are almost.
I got to be there by 10. I got 10 more. I got 12 more minutes.
Look,
I don't want to be late.
I
gotta go.
What is this we're going to? That's so important.
Look, I have to go to a. Look, I got a meeting to go to. It's on the island, so it's gonna take me a little while to get there.
Look,
dude,
like
he's on the island.
Is this left.
Like, is this like Lost?
No, well, Tybee Island.
Oh, the meeting.
Dude, we got 10 minutes of show left. Come on,
dude. I can't. I'm gonna be. No, I have to go right now,
dude.
I'm sorry. I gotta go. Y'all finish. Y'all wrap it up without me. All right.
Give those cookies in the meeting, my love.
All right. Will
do. Tell him Justin Fix says. Don't tell him who I am. Just tell him Justin Fix says hello. Sends kisses.
All right. I'll tell the IGDA that you said hello.
Tell him fuck you from Blake Buck.
You from Blake Buck. All right. I'll see you guys.
I guess the IGDA is cooler than we are.
Yeah. Lame. So William Miller just left. He had to go to some sort of fancy, ooh, I'm an internet man party. So he's not going to be even here for the rest of the show.
Dude, I've been to IGDA meetings. They're nothing. They're butt.
Yeah, whatever. He could have stayed like another 20 minutes, if it's just so. Anyway, so what you got for us for a judgment, Justin Fick?
All right, so next judgment we got is it's No More Heroes for the Wii. And,
man.
It's, for those of you that don't know, it's the latest game by Grasshopper.
I thought it was Suda
51. Suda 51, who is a complete lunatic.
What is the relationship between Suda 51 and Grasshopper?
He's kind of like Suda 51 is to Grasshopper as Itagaki is to Team Ninja.
Oh, okay. So Suda 51 is the guy, and
is
Grasshopper
the guy.
He's
the main dude.
Okay. All right.
So, but anyway, he's a lunatic, and this is his latest game, No More Heroes.
Oh,
so
man.
In No More Heroes, you play the role of this dude named Travis Touchdown, who with let me preface it by saying this: No More Heroes fulfills one of my personal fantasies. So, like, say I'm walking around like in Walmart on the weekends, you know, like which is always a big mistake. But I'm always thinking about I'm walking through Walmart and thinking, if I had a lightsaber right now, I could seriously just run around and murk some fools. So No More Heroes does exactly that. It gives you a lightsaber, and you just run around and murk fools.
Dude, Ben Buck brought it up over the weekend, and I was amazed by it.
Dude, it oozes completely with style, and it addresses, I think, one of the major complaints that people had about Killer 7, which is the story makes no fucking sense whatsoever.
That's very true. Yeah, so, Killer 7 might have been halfway decent if you knew what the fuck was going on, like, at all.
Yeah, I just had people with afros and exploding heads. I don't know what the fuck. But anyway, the story of No More Heroes is simple. You killed a dude, and now you are the 11th best assassin in the world. Now you have 10 other people to kill, so you become number one and have sex with this chick. That's it.
Allegedly. Now, I didn't get to the end of the game, but that's like, he's always like, and then when I beat everybody, I get to have sex with you, right? To this,
yeah,
girl.
It's like, it's not subtle at all. He's like, there's this hot chick that hires you on, and you're like in a limo, and she's talking about these 10 assassins. You're like, well, after that, can we do it? That's it. That's the line. And I'm like, dude, this is awesome. It's like no more of that. Because, like, you know what, in video games, there's, like, especially Japanese video games, it's like, whenever two characters get, like, this sort of, like, love thing going on, they pretend to hate each other.
Yeah,
or they,
like,
or they
especially like
to
Japanese RPGs and stuff, and they try and be all moody and not express feelings. After I finish killing all these dudes, I am going to f*** you. The end.
That's it. That's how you do romance in games. After I murk these dudes, I'm going to murk your vagina.
So let's just put out a spoiler alert right here. But Justin Fick, I don't know. Do you get to f*** her at the end of the game?
I haven't beat it yet. I'm still playing through.
Oh, man. I hope so.
That's a mystery for the ages.
You better either f*** her or kill her, because those are the only two things I know how to do in this game.
But whatever happens, I'm sure it will be awesome, because so far every other element of the story has been awesome. I mean, like, the lightsaber you got, it's like some lightsaber you won off of eBay. That's the story. And you just happen to murk some dude with it, and now you're the 11th best assassin in the world. So, I mean, just like the setting, the style, the humor of it is great. I mean, like, the first line in the game is, "I know you gamers have short attention spans," or something like that. So here's how it goes, and it gives you the story in 15 seconds.
Yeah,
it's great. It's a game for people who love games.
Yeah, and so like the main gameplay dynamic would be going around and kind of cutting up like random, not like assassins, but like random bitches that block the assassins, right?
Yeah, like it's just regular dudes in suits, and you just run around, and some of them got regular swords, some of them got the lightsaber, some of them got guns. And you just run up, and it's kind of like the combat is sort of based off of that typical chop, chop, chop that most third-person action games do. But then it throws in these finishing moves. So you chop with the Wii controls, right? What's that?
Those are with the Wii controls, right?
Yeah, it's with the Wii controller, and just fighting with it just feels so good. Because, well, you chop with A button, and then you can chop high. Like you can hold Wiimote up straight, upright. And you chop, right. And it's a high chop, and you can hold it down low and hit A, and that's a low chop. But after you deplete the life enough, or after you disarm them or do whatever, it gives you this indicator, this arrow, and then you have to swing your emote in that direction, and you instantly kill them.
And now let me state that it's not just like instantly killed. You kill them, and I dare say the most obscene amount of blood I have ever seen in a video game sprays out. And not just like, oh, like, I thought, like, first time I killed a dude, I thought, oh, that's just for, like, this one guy to, you know, like, jazz me up for the first time I killed. No. Every single enemy you kill is like a fucking geyser of blood all over the room.
I gotta say, like, I can modestly say that my game, Kill Monty, has some of the most blood spray and body parts I've ever seen, besides No More Heroes. No More Heroes is upstaged Kill Monty, just with the amount of blood that flies around. And it also takes a cue from, I would say, Lego Star Wars, because like the cool thing about Lego Star Wars is that there's no blood or anything, but stuff still flies around, like the little Lego studs shoot everywhere when you kill someone.
Yeah.
So in No More Heroes, like the blood spray, and there's also coins that spray out of the dude after you chop him in half.
Yeah.
And they all just suck into your guy. Like, it's right, just killing people is so satisfying in this game.
Because that is your money. Coins that come out of dead people.
Yeah. It's not like, you know, like a little money bundle pickup that you pick up, that, you know, in Grand Theft Auto. No. Coins spray out of him, and they like get sucked into your body. That's how it should be done.
So the game... The basic premise of the game is you have to kill these, like, I think 10 or 11 different assassins. And
yeah, the main arc is that there's 10 assassins that are above you now, and that you want to become number one so you can bang this chick. So you just basically kill each one. But it's not that straightforward.
To get to each one, you have to accumulate a certain amount of money. Now, we already mentioned to get money, you can cut dudes and have coins spray out of them along with your blood.
And this kind of gets into the things that I don't like about this game. So, like, it starts up, and it dumps you right into the mission for going after number 10, which is awesome. And then after you kill number 10, then it opens up into this Grand Theft Auto-style city. And that's, this is right, where things get a little shaky. Maybe they're just throwing stuff in there to add some gameplay hours. But you have to make enough money to get to number 9.
So some of the challenges are like, there's one that's like a scorpion collecting. You got to like grab these scorpions and collect them.
Yeah, well, there's two kinds of jobs that I've seen so far. There's like, the first one is like assassination missions, which is not the 10, but this is just like you have to kill this dude in 45 seconds, or you have to kill this many dudes as fast as possible. It's very cool. But then there's just regular jobs where it's just like, why the f*** did they throw this in there? It's like, I just spent 45 minutes running around with a lightsaber, chopping dudes in half laterally, and so why the f*** am I punching palm trees to collect coconuts?
Now, I gotta argue with you there, Justin Fick. I actually found the mini games, because that's what I think they are. I mean, you're not required to do any of those. You could, in fact, really the fastest way to make money is the assassination missions. But I thought that the side jobs where you collect coconuts, there was one where you collect cats, you know, one where you mow grass. I thought that they were a fun distraction.
Yeah, I mean, that makes, I mean, I guess to each his own. I didn't find them all that entertaining. I was like, dude, I just want to go back to chopping dudes.
Look, after you've killed like 1,000 dudes, you kind of want to mow some grass, all right?
Kind of want to get the knots out of your shoulders, mow some grass, carry around some coconuts.
Yeah, so I think it's kind of a fun way to mix it up. Oh, another thing I really like, so right when you start the game, like, this isn't something you unlock as you get down the road. Right when you beat the first dude, you get this awesome motorcycle you get to drive around town.
It's kind of like Grand Theft Auto, except you just have your motorcycle, and it's cool because there's a button you press to call it wherever you are.
Yeah,
bring your motorcycle.
This bitch just drives up and is like, "Here's your bike," and walks off.
Dude, I could look at life and say that I am successful when I have just like a number I can call or something, and just some bitch brings my car. Just some generic dude with a goatee or something, like, no more heroes. Like, doesn't matter who he is. He's got no name. This is the dude that brings your vehicle.
Yeah. Awesome. So
And it's also worth noting that this also continues a tradition that I saw first in Dead Rising, maybe a game before it. But it's a game design thing that I like very much, and it's you save by taking a shit. Going to the bathroom saves your game. That's it. Dead Rising does it. You save in the bathrooms, and this one does it too. Only it adds in, you know, like the whole, like, it's funny because you go in and it shows like the toilet, and you sit down, and as soon as you drop your pants, a little save dialogue pops up and covers your dick.
Yeah, it covers it up with toilet paper. Like, toilet paper rolls across the screen.
So the save dialogue doubles as like a sensor box. It's awesome.
Another thing I really liked about the game is that there's a lot of collectibles. Like, you can collect these masks from killing people and finding them items around the town. You can collect clothes. You can customize like your shirt, your jacket, your pants. You can customize your lightsaber with different designs and stuff.
Yeah, it's very cool. I mean, there's a lot of like, there's a lot of like collector cards you can get, and there's a lot of, you know, like the masks are all like these wrestling masks. Because apparently, the way your dude learns new moves is he like watches videos of pro wrestlers.
You find,
and
like,
learns
these
their
wrestling
moves
tapes.
That way.
Yeah, you can collect wrestling tapes and like video games, and I think there might even be, there's like one of the trailer. So there's a ton of stuff to collect. I had an absolute blast when I played it. So this gets a big thumbs up from me.
It gets a thumbs up from me too. I mean, after a while, I guess my only complaint is that the combat is kind of repetitive after a while, but that's not a bad thing. It's just like, it's almost therapeutic after a while. It's just like a chop.
Yeah.
And then there's other things you can do too. Like, you can disarm them and go in for a grab, and you can throw them and then murk them when they're laying on the ground.
One thing I just remembered is that when you're cutting dudes, right, every time you kill somebody, it spins like a slot machine at the bottom. And if you get three of anything, like, you get a super crazy power, and you can like kill dudes in one hit, or like,
yeah, I'm starting to get a feel for that. But that's just sort of like something where if it happens, it happens. Like, whenever you do a killing move, like, yeah, it spins a slot machine, and then one of the moves is like, just for some reason, you go into like this first person mode and aimer, just everything in your aimer just dies. Like, you shoot projectiles or something. There's one where you go complete, you know, Super Saiyan, crazy Dragon Ball Z run around and chop dudes.
Yeah, there's this one where, like, the screen goes, like, black and white, but when you cut dudes, like, the blood is, like, still red, so it's, like, really cool visually.
Yeah, there's one where it kind of feels like an instant kill mode, where you go after the prompts, and every time you do that, you just run up to a dude and kill him.
Oh, man.
And it's super stylized, it's very cool, it's very satisfying, it's a lot of fun. And it's like I said, it's a game for people who love games. There's a lot of in jokes. Like for instance, whenever you kill one of the 10 assassins, it gives you this little Space Invaders like scoreboard, like an old school arcade game, and your dude just like moves up on the scoreboard a spot. It oozes with style. It's very cool. In my mind, it totally makes up for the pile of crap that was content.
That's what I was gonna say. Like it's even better considering like how much I wanted to like Killer 7 but couldn't because it sucked ass. Now I can legitimately love this game and not feel bad about it.
Yeah, big thumbs up.
One thing I wanted to ask you, have you gotten to the number 3 assassin?
No, not yet. Haven't gotten
that far. Oh my god, I saw my brother play it. Oh my god, it was so goddamn funny. Like, there's this old lady. Like, so you see, like, there's this old lady, like, in this field, right? And she's talking, and he's like, are you the number 3 assassin? She's like, and like it cuts back to you, and she's got this shopping cart, and so it cuts to you, and it's like, are you the number 3 assassin? And then like her shopping cart starts transforming, and like turning into this robot kind of thing. And then it cuts back to you, and you're like, you killed my instructor. I must avenge this. And then it cuts back to her, and it's like turned into this giant fucking gun. And then you're like, this couldn't get any more ridiculous. And it cuts back to you, and he's like, I will avenge his death. And it cuts back to her, and literally, it is a gun, like, 100 feet long that has been assembled. Like, you think I'm joking. Literally 100 feet long.
No, I believe it.
And it shoots this giant atomic fucking death ray out of it. Oh, my God. So funny. Oh,
no,
man.
I remember there's a quote in one of, I think it was the GamePro review, which said something like, all games should be designed with this much lunacy.
Yeah.
Like so this guy, Suda51, he's a fucking maniac, and he designs games. And this is what he designs, and it's awesome. Thumbs up.
I don't know if his next game would be good or not. Like, it seems like he would have to go shit. He went from shit to awesome. It seems like now maybe he'd have to go back to shit again to make another awesome game.
No, I don't know. I think maybe like he's starting to get a feel for it, like, he realizes the mistakes he made with Killer 7. It was a little too convoluted, a little too confusing for people.
I think this guy... No, I don't think this guy is, like, that coherent. Like, he's just insane.
one of those insane people that just, like, designs games up in his bedroom while, like, masturbating with peanut butter or something. Just, like, complete insane lunatic.
You go up to his desk, right? And you're like, hey, we're gonna need that build report by Friday. And he's like... And he just throws shit in your face.
it's like one of those people that would just like, you know, make paintings with menstrual blood or some crazy like that.
So all in all, Killer 7, very awesome. If you're not into this kind of game, at least check it out for the style. Very cool.
Yeah, even if you don't like it, you should play it. You don't gotta buy it. Just play it, borrow it, rent it. Just experience it for a couple minutes just to see what it's about, because it definitely needs to be seen.
Very true. Now it's time for the jank. Alright guys, this week I've got a very special jank for you. Oh my goodness, yes. We're talking about Command & Conquer 3 on the Xbox 360. Excuse me, it's Command & Conquer 3 Tiberium Wars on the Xbox 360. Now, yeah, for those of you who don't know, this is a real-time strategy game. You kind of go around with your little, you know, infantry. You fight off aliens and terrorists. It's pretty fun. But the main reason this game is awesome is because it features none other than Lando Calrissian himself, Billy D. Williams, in live-action cutscenes alongside Michael Ironsides, who you may remember from Starship Troopers. He was Roughnecks. I can't remember his first name, but it was so... It's like
Ratchet or something.
Yeah, like Raw Chest.
I just remember he gets his legs eaten off by bugs.
Yeah. So it's like my two of my favorite actors ever, and they're in like these ultra cheesy, ultra camp, like live action sequences where they address you, like the camera directly, as if, you know, it's first person. Oh my god, they're so bad / awesome at the same time.
Actually, you know what? I just made a very weird connection here. You might also remember Michael Ironsides from Total Recall.
Really? He was in Total Recall?
He was like the right hand man of the bad guy.
Oh.
But here's the thing. In Starship Troopers, Michael Ironsides gets his legs chopped off. In Total Recall, he gets his arms chopped off.
Hmm.
Dude, this is a pretty. I wonder if he's getting typecast in the dude that gets his limbs chopped off roles.
So also, you may remember Michael Ironsides. He's the voice of what's his name? Splinter Cell guy, Sam Fisher from the Splinter Cell games.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So very
the man
cool.
Man is prolific.
It's a fun game, a fun console RTS. In fact, I'll go as far as say the best console RTS I've ever played. It's got fun live action sequences, and you can find it used, I think, for about $25 at GameStop.
Nice.
So, if you're looking for a little weekend fun, check out Command & Conquer 3 Tiberium Wars on the Xbox 360.
Now, speaking of jank, did you ever pick up that free Undertow?
Oh, I did get that free Undertow, son.
Dude, I would have gotten it, but my Xbox Live still ain't working.
Oh, man.
Dude, I don't even know what the f*** is going on.
Oh, I got a story. I got a story, a sad story that happened to me today because I didn't have internet. So... Oh. My email was broken until today, my school email. And so, guess what I got in the mail in my email today, but it was too late and the list had already filled up.
What?
I was...
Beta test?
No, even better than that. Are you familiar with American Gladiators? The new American Gladiators on, I think it's NBC?
Yeah.
Have you ever watched
it? Actually, wait. I don't know where the whole getting dudes from the public... would fit into it, though, so you might have to indulge me.
What do you mean getting dudes from the public?
Well, I'm familiar with, we have these steroid-pumped monstrosities that beat up on regular dudes.
Yeah. Well, this is not the 80s or early 90s American Gladiators. This is a new one. It's like Hulk Hogan hosts it. It's only been on for maybe three or four weeks now. And it's pretty lame and cheesy, but one of the characters on the show, his name is Wolf, and he's like this, this... 10 foot tall, 500 pound muscular dude, and he's like, "You better do good, boy, because I'm gonna eat you." Woo, woo! So I had a chance to fucking interview this guy over the phone, but because I didn't get the email till it was too late, I don't get to do it now.
Ugh.
God damn it!
Oh man, that sucks.
Oh, it burns. God damn it,
dude. That's going to be one of those things you're going to regret as you're eating Cheetos when you're 80 years old talking to your grandkids.
I could have talked to that guy.
Apparently, I could have interviewed the wolf.
Yeah, and I read his description. He was in WWE and was a stuntman and all sorts of cool shit. And I could have talked to him. Oh, God, it pissed me. That's like an inverted jank. That just canceled out Command & Conquer. All right, anyway,
dude,
we got to keep...
Wolf is the one that got away.
Yeah. Anyway, it's time for feedback. We'd have to stop this recording, and then I'd have to go back and re-record all these voicemails to fix it. So we'll just save the voicemails for next time. But
okay. I think I heard enough, though.
The basic gist, there was really only Wazoo's call, where he said,
I heard Wazoo and Wiki Fairy Jr.
They are one and the same. Uh-oh. And he was like, why are you guys... I'll ask for somebody to help you, and then I do all this work to help you, and you guys just shit all over me.
Because that's what we do.
That's what we do, Wazoo. You should have known that by now. You listen to
this
show.
We are lazy and abusive. It's the best of both worlds.
I tell you, I don't understand why anybody listens to this show. Like, we do no work. We bitch about everything. And we hardly even put out shows.
I think if we were to draw a comparison... to just a real world counterpart, our podcast is that dude that's sitting in a trailer park in a wife beater, lean back, bad posture, with a beer in his hand, yelling at his wife to cook him a steak. that's what the best damn podcast ever is.
Oh man,
we are the white trash underbelly of the internet.
All right, so let's move on to emails. Got one from Sam L. He says, "Hey, just send in a donation in case you didn't get notified. Keep up the podcast. Makes me laugh at work. Use it well, potentially to encourage the release of another drunk cast, or pay it towards a real-world meetup of the Holy Trio and record a new drunk cast. It's a shame I can't contribute some of our advertising budget to a proper donation. I just don't think it's our target audience. It's kind regards, Sam L." I think he works at some media company or something.
Nah, dude.
I'm not really sure.
Dude, everyone is our target audience.
Yeah. That's right. Especially stay-at-home moms, grandparents, really right-wing Christian groups. That's who we go well with. So thanks for that donation, Sam L. And actually, I have a story about it. So the donations, we've been reading them off. I went and checked our PayPal account. We've actually gotten a good chunk of coin built up from all the donations over the past month or two.
Nice.
So I think we might be definitely we got to print up those shirts already. So I'll print up those shirts, but we might be using it in some creative ways here.
Cool. I know. I have my friend Gina Kay, who we read off, I think, last week or 2 weeks ago, or one show or two shows ago, donated $15 to the Get Fick Out to Georgia fund. But it was like too little, too late, unfortunately. Yeah.
So speaking of donate, if you want to donate, it's donate. Send your PayPal donations to donate at bestdamnpodcastever.com. Check the links on the sites or in the show notes for more information on that jank. Also, let me just say this real quick. So I was checking the PayPal today, and they had a button. It was like, click here to invest in a money market account. And I was like, that's me. Click.
Where do I enter my credit card number?
I am an investor now. Clickety clack. It said I'm gonna make 4.9% on my return, and nice. I pretended to know what that means.
Dude, you gotta build up them percents.
And so when I say invest, I mean I'm pretty much just gonna gamble away all of our donations. All right, this next one, Justin.
All right, coming up next we have Pete B writes in, "F***ing hell, Gradius 3 on Nintendo DS, first time I've ever played it. Swear to God, I jizzed in my pants. I suck worse."
He knows how we talk.
Yeah, it's. I love how all our listeners talk like us now. But by the way, Gradius 3 on Nintendo DS. I've never heard of this, and I want it. I mean, I've got it on the whole R4 heat, but
right.
I will gladly give Konami another $20-$30 to play some more Gradius. Anyway, he continues on. He says, "I suck worse than Blake Buck at reading. End of first level is the best I've seen. Guys, keep up the podcast. Listen to all 30-odd in the past 2 weeks. Pete B., Bournemouth, UK."
Now, see, it really disturbs me when people tell me, "Guys, I've listened to all 30 of your shows in the past 2 weeks." Like, no, think about it. Somebody has listened to my voice, like, say, the most retarded shit. So I get back from Georgia and all my friends are like, "Blake, so why'd you go to Georgia?" And I'm like, "Oh, we did this podcast and like 10 people I've never met before were there." Like, it still blows my mind that anybody would listen to this show.
Well, I think what blows my mind more are the people that after they've listened to it after 30 episodes in 2 weeks, they'll actually go back and just like when there's no show for a month or so, which is all the time. They'll actually go back and listen to the whole IMG plus BDPE catalog, like, back to back.
Jesus, that's terrifying. Stop doing that. If that's you, stop right now. If you have heard me say this more than once, you have a goddamn problem.
There should be support groups for that kind of thing.
/ forums.
It's like
off-topic recovery thread.
Anonymous, BBAA.
All right, so Zap Brannigan writes in. He writes this all the time. "So, I'm almost done listening to the live show Lucas janked up on his website so far, and it good. Anyway, I heard Blake Buck talking about him driving in his car using the specs on his car windshield as a laser beam to cut bridges in half. Remember, William Miller laughed at me and said I was retarded. Look at this. No one else seemed to have done the same thing, and they were generally implying that he was insane. Well, if William Miller gets feedback to prove that he isn't crazy for peanuts and coke, Blake Buck should get feedback for this. I can admit that I do use specs in the windshield as laser-esque things to cut up opposing traffic. I slice those cars in half. However, I only do this on long car trips when I'm ridiculously bored and when I'm not driving through central Mississippi area looking for a local Krispy Kreme." That's what I do most of the time when I drive.
Dude, I would use them lasers to cut open that Krispy Kreme so I can steal all them sweet donuts.
All right, so what we got, Justin Fick?
All right, so Calyx writes in, "Okay, so I've never given up on my last stump because Blake Buck is dumb. On another note, I've noticed that there are a few new articles up on the site, so I thought, man, maybe I should write part two of my own failed article, but then I realized I suck at writing articles because I have no experience and no skill at writing them. So I decided to write a fictional story about the BDPE. because at least fictional stories I have experience in. This would, of course, feature the Monglers and the gods of gaming themselves. And so if you are interested, I have attached a file that has the dumb synopsis that you always see on the front flap of a book. It's a separate file so that Blake Buck isn't scared away from a long email. Justin Fick has built-in ducking. Calyx. Oh, I know what he's talking about.
Oh,
my,
yeah.
My battle music.
Oh, that's right. Oh, that was awesome. Like, see, I even forgot that happened. Because, see, I really only listened to the shows once. See, that's horrifying. I listened to the shows one time, and people on the internet listen like 5 and 6 times.
Dude, I just realized that we need to go on American Idol and just do the battle music.
If you ever want to write anything for the site, for God's sake, don't send it to me, because I just eat emails. You need to talk to Matt Kay. You can find him in the forums. I don't remember his email offhand, but you can find it in the forums on his profile. Send any, like, written stuff you want to do to Matt K, because God knows you're going to send it to me, and it's just going to sit in that inbox, and I'm going to forget about it. So send it to Matt K. All right, Pete B. Oh, wait, he's Scrooge McDuck, I think, is his forum handle, isn't it? Scrooge McDuck? Scrooge McDuck. What is it? Is it just Matt K, his forum name, I guess? Yeah, I think it is just Matt K.
I think
K.
it is, yeah.
Okay, Pete B says,
I'll look it up and confirm.
All right. Guys, Burnout on Friday. Can't wait. How about this for an idea? Burnout Highway, only oncoming traffic, no hard shoulder forever.
Dude,
I've always wanted it. It's all I've wanted from a Burnout game. Just oncoming traffic forever. Online leaderboard for distance travel. What do you think? Heat D. Now, you know, that's actually, you can, with Burnout Paradise, you could technically do that. Like, I think it does track your longest oncoming, and theoretically you could just go in a loop like on the interstate. So I haven't actually tried it, but it seems like that there certainly would be a leaderboard for that. Also, he ends with Blake Buck, you dumb. P.S.
I like how this is a common element in all these emails.
All these emails are Blake Buck is stupid. All right, I'll
by
take
the way,
this
Matt K's form handle is MBKerr. That's MBKerr.
That's right. That's right. I knew that. But he's got like a Scrooge Duck icon, right?
Yeah, Scrooge McDuck is his icon.
That's right. Okay. I have a new forum avatar that I just found the other day. Somebody sent me this link.
The cake is going to be retired?
I think I might be retiring the cake. It might come back, the cake, but this one's way better.
Uh-oh.
It's from the movie Cool as Ice, which we've talked about several times on the show, starring Vanilla Ice. And it's just like Vanilla Ice dance moves. And it's absolutely ridiculous. The other thing I like is I can make my forum, like, since I have, like, all the admin privileges and stuff, I can make my icon gigantic.
You can make
my avatar
as huge and obnoxious as you possibly can.
So I think I'm just going to get this giant thing of Vanilla Ice dancing as my new avatar. That way, like, any thread I post on, like, all the text will be pushed over to the right.
Yeah, just, like, break all the tables of the forum. We are the best hosts on our forum. It's like we hate our listeners, we make them help us, and then we ridicule them, and then we break the tables of our own forums.
And then we don't talk to them in the forums, and when we do, we just tell them they suck. All right, so what's David S. got for us, Jessica?
All right, David S. writes in, "Hi, guys. I've been a listener since your IMG days, and on the last episode, you made a plea for some UK listeners to enter battle, and I heard your plea and came a-running. This is my number. Including UK code, I think. Insert number here. I live in Coventry, England, near the city center. I don't have a car. Lame. There is a garage open near me. That's the only thing open 24 hours. So don't forget the time difference, because I know Blake dumb.
Wow.
Not
like,
much
instant
else to
validation.
Say apart from usual, I love your show. So bring your heat to the table, dude. David S.
Awesome. Well, David S., yeah, and in fact, guys, you are most likely to be called up for battle if you are the most recent one to send us a challenge. So, David S., you are high up on the likelihood to be called list.
And you know what I also realize is now that we just point out the fact that every email we get is pointing out the fact that you're dumb, from now on, everyone is going to say it.
No, I want all emails to say, P.S. Blake smart, fake dumb. There we go. All right, Cirrus Fox sent me an email, or I guess sent us an email, but it said the subject was specs on the windshield, and the body was, I do that too, Blake Buck. See? See, William Miller? He's not even here to defend himself. See? Ass face.
Oh, and while he's gone and defenseless, dude, Peanuts and Coke is still f***ing insane. That's like Suda 51 insane. Suda 51 puts Peanuts in his Coke before he designs the game. That's how
that's
insane
like old-timey, like, f***ing Aunt Jemima nonsense. Oh, I'm going to put my Peanuts in my Coke. Then I'm going to go watch the Charlie Chaplin. Oh, let me put on the Nickelodeon.
Oh, and then anyone that writes in that says, don't worry, I put Peanuts in my Coke, too. You're all insane.
You're all insane. That's right. Specs on the windshield, not insane. Peanuts on in Coke, f***ing bonkers. All right, finally, Wazoo says we owe him a shirt. So we're going to look. These shirts are coming, I swear. Because we got some coin in the PayPal account. So I keep saying I'm going to do it, and I keep forgetting. But we are going to get those shirts out. And if we owe you a shirt, I know we know at least Wazoo, Christian C, God knows we owe Sippin' the Sweet a shirt. Anybody else that you want a contest and you didn't get a prize, or just remind us that we owe you a prize. And when we get the shirts made, very, very soon, we'll send one to you. So just email us feedback at bestendpodcastever.com. All right, Vic, you know what time it is.
Dude, what time is it?
It's time for Stump!
Oh, shit.
You ready, son?
You might have to go... Actually, you know what? Wait, I just found it. I was going to say, like, I had a stump all ready to go on Monday, and then I forgot it since then, but I just refound it.
You go. Maybe yours will make me think of one. Right. Go ahead and kick us off.
So my stump for you this week, Blake Buck, is called Mighty Bomb Jack.
Mighty. This sounds so, so familiar.
I'm hoping we haven't done it before. I have a sinking feeling that maybe we have, but I don't think so.
God, this sounds so familiar. Oh, it's like a Bomberman clone, I'm pretty sure. But like it had like a more emphasis on single player kind of thing rather than multiplayer, like you go through mazes.
Not quite. So Mighty Bomb Jack was an NES game. It was released in 1987 by Tecmo, which would later be the home of Itagaki.
Oh, that's right.
But it's kind of funny because the only thing that bombs had to do with the game is that they're just kind of like things you collect. They're kind of like coins in Mario. It's really just a platformer with a shitload of secrets in it.
I guess Mighty Coin Jack
is pretty much exciting. It's just like you run around and you catch bombs. It's like bombs are just sitting there, just out in the air. Mm-hmm. You just collect them, and they serve absolutely no purpose in the game whatsoever. They're just points.
Huh.
So anyway, it's a platforming game, and it's noted mainly because it's probably one of the worst Nintendo games ever made. I remember there was like a list of like the 10 worst Nintendo games, and this was on it. But basically, it's kind of like a platformer, except picture Mario jumping, picture how high he goes on the screen. Now multiply that by 20.
Wow.
It's like when your dude jumps, he actually jumps like 4 or 5 screens up in the air.
Wow, Jesus.
And it really serves no... It really only serves a purpose. It just gets in your way.
Yeah.
So really, like, you have to time these jumps and the falls to go around enemies, and it's really frustrating. It's really bad. In fact, there's actually a torture chamber in the game. Like, if you collect... too many treasures or too many like power-ups, it sends you to a torture chamber, and the only way to get out is to jump 50 times.
What?
It actually uses the main mechanic of gameplay as a method of torture. I am not making this up.
Wow, that is total ass.
So I actually had this game as a kid, and I do remember playing it a lot, just trying to beat it. I've never beaten it, and it's one of those games that I've never actually gone back and beaten on a ROM, because I remember doing that with one of the Ninja Gaidens.
Yeah. Jeez.
But,
wow.
But I've never bothered to go through this game just because it's so ridiculous. And this is actually like one of the first games that I remember. There might have been another one, but one of the first games that I remember that had multiple endings.
Really?
And it was actually kind of cool the way they did it, maybe a little frustrating, but there's like 16 main levels in Mighty Bomb Jack, and if you map them out, like the whole thing takes place in a pyramid, if you map them out, they kind of, they make a coherent, you know, pyramid shape, but there's rooms missing if you map it out. And that's where, like, these secret rooms are. And the only way to get the best ending is to find those rooms, get the treasures in them, and then beat the game.
Hmm.
So it was kind of, like the idea was cool, and it's cool when I say it, but when you actually play it and try to do it, no.
Total ass.
Total ass.
All right, well, Justin Fick, I got a game for you. Now, you may have heard of this one, because it kind of made the round on the internets a few days ago.
Uh-huh.
But then my game for you, in fact, the title probably gives it away. It's Barkley, Shut Up and Jam, Gaiden.
I have heard of it, but I can't say I've played it, and I don't know exactly what. I don't know if it's a basketball game or if it's a fighting game.
So I'm gonna go out
on a limb and say it's a beat 'em up.
Okay, so they had Barkley, Shut Up and Jam, a real game on Genesis and Super NES.
Yes.
So about a year ago, somebody got the clever idea. I'm gonna make Barkley, Shut Up and Jam, Gaiden, and it's going to be an RPG. Now, they just made it like a YouTube video. They just use like sprites and stuff, but they made the most ridiculous part, like, it's 2047, B-Ball is dead, somebody pulled the chaos dunk and destroyed Neo New York. And so it's just absolutely ridiculous. You can find the YouTube video, but and so I guess the YouTube video is so popular that it actually got made into a game, the
really?
First chapter of which has been Not just like online, but the first chapter has been released online about a week or two ago. And so it's Barkley, Shut Up and Jam, Gaiden. And I've been trying to download it all week. I've downloaded it, but for some reason either my drivers don't work or my download isn't right. Like the graphics are garbled for me. So I've seen like video of it being played.
Is it for Windows?
It's for Windows. It's like a RPG. You go around and like you fight B-ball monsters.
See, this is like, it sounds so absurd that it has to be awesome.
Yeah, so I've really been trying hard to get it to work, but I can't get it to work on my ROM box, and I don't know. If anybody knows, has been having the same, like, for me, the sprites work, but the music and background textures don't work, so I can't even see anything. So if anybody knows how I can fix that, let me know, but I'm very excited. You can find the link, just look on Google.
I see the YouTube link.
Oh, yeah.
So I'll have to give that a gander after we're done.
Barkley, Shut Up and Jam, Gaiden. Check it out.
Who comes up with
And so my favorite thing is, like, Charles Barkley is the hero, right? And he has a son. You know what his kid's name is? Hoops. H-O-O-P-Z. Hoops.
Dude, that is awesome. Just automatic judgment thumbs up.
Yeah, no. So
I
really
automatic.
Like, I'm so excited. I really, really, really want to play it. So I'll tell you how it is if I ever get it working.
In fact, you know what? That's so awesome. If the Cougar were to come in and do a judgment on it, you know what he'd give it?
What's that?
Thumbs down.
No, why is that?
Because the Cougar gives everything thumbs down.
Oh, that's right. All right. Well, that does it for this week of the best damn podcast ever. What do you think about that, Justin Fick?
I'm very happy. I almost said it's a good return to form, but if I said that, that would mean that every episode of the last 5 months has been a good return to form. So I'm just going to go ahead and say a lot of heat. I love it. Good to be back.
We're
in
totally going to be on schedule. Totally. We're going to put one out tomorrow. No, but I mean, seriously, I've had a lot of stuff with schoolwork, but we're definitely going to get back in the groove. If not once a week, certainly a lot quicker than we've been turning them out. So
yeah.
More frequent shows will be coming. If you want to send us any feedback, it's feedback@bestdamnpodcastever.com or call the listener line, which we will actually play next time since the clips won't be garbled, at 845-BATTLE-9. Remember, that's how you can sign up for those of you unfamiliar with Battle. You can go back and listen to last week's show. But if you want to sign up for Battle, just send us an email with your telephone number and the word Battle in the subject or body somewhere.
And also, then just letting you know that that I have a good battle lined up, and it's delicious. It's very delicious.
An edible battle, my favorite kind.
Dude, eat battles are the best. I mean, people don't like eat battles. They want more creativity, but you know what? There is a gold mine in just making people eat weird.
All right, so let's see. Also, donate at bestdamnpodcastever.com if you want to send us any PayPal donations. We are going to be getting those shirts out soon. I know the guy. I have the names of the guys who donated to Christian C. So those guys are going to be getting shirts. Wazoo, Sippin. Anybody else? I know there has to be at least three or four more other people. Matt K for sure. Austin Spawn a shirt. But anybody who I haven't heard from. Like, you won something and we've forgotten about it. Send us an email so we don't forget that we owe you a shirt.
Jogger memories if you have any IMG right. Pro coming on to you.
And we'll fire off a shirt. I'm going to go make them this week. I've decided this. I'm going to go by there tomorrow, see how much they cost, and then print them out.
Actually, you know, that's a good aside. Like, I don't think we can do anything about it at this point. But if there are people that listen to this podcast that are listening right now that still have a game out from Tunster Dennis from way back in the IMG days... Like we can't do anything about it at this point, but I'm just curious. I'm just wondering if any of you are still out there.
If you're still owed a game from Tunster Dennis, you get a shirt automatically.
Yes, yeah,
number
off.
One for listening so long, and number two for getting done. By
actually, we should have a special shirt for people like that. just something like I won the IMG podcast contest, and all I got was a stupid T-shirt, or just something like that.
Yeah, I will sign it myself. All right. So also, guys, don't forget. Very important. I say it's every show. I say it's very important, and you know, we put out shows so seldomly. Maybe it's not as important as we might think. But Podcast Alley, it's a podcast ranking site. You got to vote for us every month, and February is no different. So just hop on over to podcastalley.com. Either search for us, or there's a link on the site to vote for us, and just click it in. Takes maybe 10 seconds to vote for us, and you're done. So once a month, just hit us up. It'll help. A good way to. Promote the show. Also, if you got a blog exactly. or anything, or
yeah,
you know,
like
some friends,
get the word out. Find some new Mongler, some fresh meat,
and check out the forums. Lots of people there with good ideas. I know Spawn had an idea for a new segment he wanted to work on. It wasn't quite percolated yet. I didn't want to do it on this show, but if any new ideas, throw it to the forums, and we're open to anything you throw at us. So
right, actually, I got an idea too. If we want to hear it after the show. I've been trying to get that that Amazon thing going for a while, but...
Oh, okay.
We'll percolate this that. Afterwards if you want.
All right, and as always, got to thank our audio editor, Lucas, for cutting these strips down for us, getting them all together.
Cutting them into fine audio sirloin.
Absolutely. We got to thank site editor, Matt K. Even though Matt K. needs some more content, I'm making an eye at you. Actually, he's probably written like 6 articles, and I just hadn't looked, you know, because I'm dumb. But
I think Matt K. has made more posts than we have.
Yeah. All right. So we got anything else?
Actually, you know what? I got an idea for T-shirts. People that still have a game coming to them from IMG, let us know what game it was, and we will print a shirt with the name of that game and send it to you.
Dude, no, we won't. That costs too much money. It's cheap. Look, it is cheap to make 100 shirts. It is expensive to make one shirt.
Well, no, no. Here's what we'll do. We'll get a regular white shirt, and then you can just write get black permanent marker and write the name of the game. So write Age of Mythology on it, and then sign it, Blake Buck.
There you go. All right. Well, from all of us here at the Best Damn Podcast Ever, I'm Blake Buck.
I'm Justin Fick.
William Miller's gay, and we will see you next time.
It's 92.1. It's Oxford's best music. It's the morning show. Blake Buck, Josh Butler. Blake, what's happening?
Not too much, man. Just hanging out. Who we got with us today?
We got the very special guest, Ben Garrett. Ben's in the house with us.
Yup.
What's up, Ben?
Yup.
Anyway, give us a look at the weather before we start everyone's favorite man talk.
8:49 in the a.m., guys. 32 degrees right now. Going to be heating up to 60 a little bit later in the day and cooling off to the 30s by this evening.
Oh, guys. Oh, there's Stephen Ralph are coming in. Who's that they got with them? You know that?
Oh, who's this third guy?
Anyway, all right. So Stephen Ralph are coming in. They're about to take you through man talk. So
this is man talk, where manliness rules.
Not only are we going to New Hampshire, Tom Harkin.
You betray the law.
We're going to South Carolina.
This is madness.
And Oklahoma and Arizona.
This is Sparta.
And North Dakota and New Mexico. And then we're going to Washington, D.C. to take back the White House.
Man Talk.
Man Talk.
Everything manly. I'm Steve. That's Ralph.
Hey, hello, Steve. Who is this we got with
Hey, Ralph, what's up?
Oh, man, it's so manly.
Manly,
today.
Manly, manly. Today we got a special guest on the Man Talk show.
Oh, yeah.
Say your name, sir.
Name's Digger.
Digger, how's it going this morning?
That's right.
Man, I'm all right. Just got back from a soggy bottom, went through a mud hole.
That's right, that's right, that's right.
That's right.
Now, let me tell you, Digger, what man talk is. Man talk is what men are doing when they're not fighting a rogue of ninjas with a tire iron.
That's right. Man talk. Man talk is what men are doing when they're not single-handedly taking out the NWO wolf pack.
Oh, I know where you're going with this. Man talk is what men do when they're not mixing creatine in their 7-year-old son's oatmeal so he can have a competitive advantage in flag football.
Man talk is what men are doing when they're not winning the World Series of Poker.
Man talk is what men are doing when they're not falling victim to their own hubris.
Wow. Man talk is what men do when they're not telling a stewardess no thanks on first class. Instead, they'd like to join the Mile High Club.
Man talk is what men are doing when they're not listening to Jeff Foxworthy albums.
Man talk is what men are doing when they're waiting on their girlfriends to get dressed.
Man talk is what... Man talk is what men do when they get finished bush hogging 60 acres so they can bring in the mud harvest.
Man talk is what men are doing when they're not living vicariously through their sons.
Man talk is what men are doing when they're not exposing Janet Jackson's right breast during the Super Bowl halftime show.
Man talk is what men do when they buy a new Corvette and dress it up like the General Lee.
Man talk is what men are doing when they're not taking a bullet for the president.
Mm-hmm. Man talk is what men are doing when they're not singing along with Bubbly by Colby Calais.
Oh,
what did you say?
In their pickup trucks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Man talks what men do when they're not burning their hands with a scalding hot iron so they can feel the pain of Dale Earnhardt.
Oh, very manly. Very, very manly right there. Very manly. Thanks, Ralph. All right. All right. Oh. Thanks, Digger. Mm. All right, today on Man Talk, we celebrate the manliness that is Terry the Hulk Hogan.
Oh, man. That's right. Oh, so manly.
Oh, manly.
So manly. Manly.
God send to American sport.
Terry the Hulk Hogan was born on August 11th, 1953 at 8:31 in the a.m.
That's right. And by 8:33, he was already maxing out his first bench press.
And then by 8:40, he'd already brought... He'd already brought the paint on Andre the Giant with his first atomic leg drop.
Oh, very manly.
Oh, yeah.
He was one of the best wrestlers of all time, and he had several nicknames.
That's
Ralph.
Right. No less than 7, including the Hulkster, Hulk, the Immortal, the Immortal Icon of Professional Wrestling, the Incredible, Hollywood, and the Babe Ruth of Professional Wrestling.
Very, very manly, very manly. He also had some of the best signature moves in sports. Digger.
6 of the most deadly combo moves in wrestling. Axe Bomber, the Big Boot, the Bear Hug, Clothesline, 3 left and right-handed punches, followed by a right-handed punch, wind-up punch, and then the famous Atomic Leg Drop. Oh. Right on the kisser.
Very manly. Very manly. He also had some of the best intro music anywhere, including Eye of the Tiger.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone's favorite song, Real American. Very, very manly. Now I have a couple questions for you guys.
What you got for us?
Could the NWA Wolfpack stop this man?
Nope.
Could his own reality show stop this man?
No, it could not.
Could Rocky Balboa stop this man?
Kinda, but he didn't.
Could Jesse the Body Ventura stop this man?
No, he could not.
Could a slew of cameos in relatively bad movies stop this man?
Nope.
Could American Gladiator stop this man?
No, it cannot!
Could Cloverfield Monster stop this man?
No, I don't!
And finally, could Andre the Giant stop this man?
No, it could not!
Not a chance!
So that's why today we celebrate you, Hulk Hogan, the Hulkster, on Man Talk.
The
very
real
manly.
American.
Yes.
Very, very manly.
All right.
Wow,
well, thanks
guys,
for that, guys.
Thanks
that was
lot,
so informative.
Wow. Steve, Ralph, and their new friend Digger.
They're some really good people.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, those are kind of people you'd like to be associated with in social circles.
That's right. That's right.
They're quality.
Anyway, we got to get back to Oxford's best music, and we got Crank the Vote coming up. We're going to talk about Crank the Vote real quick and registering to vote because that is a very important thing, and we're going to do that just right after we get back.
So and keep the it Grammys, come on, man.
Okay, and the Grammys. So keep it here. It's the morning show.
92.
This message is brought to you by San.